Good morning. It is 9:30 a.m. We are here today, March 20, 2026, via Zoom meeting for the hearing regarding determination of substantial interest of OPA PA 26001, General Pacific Services LLC versus the Department of Public Works. Presiding over the hearing today is Hearing Officer Joseph B. McDonald. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Jerick Hernandez and Joy Esperanza. Will appellant, General Pacific Services, please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Hearing Officer. This is Joshua Walsh from for the appellant GPS. Also joining this Zoom call is Mr. Phil Roberto, and Mr. Robert Tolkas. They're not participating in the hearing, but they'll be listening in. Thank you, Mr. McDonald.
Will purchasing agency, Department of Public Works, please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record.
Good morning, Mr. McDonald. This is Patrick Laylor, LALOR, representing the Department of Public Works. With me, or on a separate camera, is from the Department of Public Works is the director, Vince Areola, and Linda Ibanez.
Will interested party Cortec International Corporation please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning and good evening. Joyce Tang for Cortec International Corp, interested party. I don't, they may join, but I don't see them at the moment on Zoom. And I see that I have other colleagues from my office. I think they're just observing.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I think we're ready to proceed. Mr. Walsh, this is your protest. Why don't you go ahead?
Thank you, Mr. Hearing Officer Hoff.
I'm sorry, Ms.
Before
Tang.
you start, can I just ask when it is my opportunity? I don't want to break into the presentation, but I would like to be able to present a PowerPoint slide, and I just want to make sure I'm allowed to do that and I have the sharing rights. Okay. All right. Sorry about that, Josh.
Okay, did you serve a copy of that presentation on the parties?
No, it's just a a slide of just our arguments of that we've raised in the it's just for the presentation, facilitate a presentation. It's not argument.
Okay, can you go ahead and share that with us,
Sure, I can do that.
including to me,
I don't know if I
jbernard@mcdonald.com.
have everybody's email, so how do you want me to do that? Should I send it to Ms. Esperanza? Maybe she can circulate.
Sure.
Okay, sorry about that. I just want to make sure we don't have any issues.
You have an
Just deal with
objection to that, Mr. Walsh?
No, I haven't seen it. I mean, if it's just sort of a demonstrative thing to help us move along in a evidence in a presentation, I've got no objection. But if there's something substantive on it, new pictures or things like that, I'm going to preserve my put an objection down just for the record, because I have a feeling this is going to move on. But let's see it. I mean,
Okay,
if it
I'll
comes to you,
circulate
then I'll
it.
see it. But if it's just
Yes.
demonstrative, I've got no issue. Point one, two,
Yes,
three.
it's demonstrative.
Okay, Mr. Laylor, anything to add on that?
No.
Okay. All right, I want to go ahead because we have a lot to cover in the next hour and a half. So, Mr. Walsh, please proceed.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Hearing Officer. Hafidang, good morning from Guam. I know it's evening for other folks. I appreciate the time to make this hearing happen. I think the issues have been well briefed, so I want to just sort of hit a few points and make sure that I'm available to answer questions for the hearing officer or address points that get raised in any arguments that Mr. Laylor may make for DPW or Ms. Tang may make for Cortec. I think it's important to remind ourselves of the timeline here, all right? The essential timeline here, because we are dealing with a claim from DPW over a substantial need to advance the timeline. The Cortex settlement, right? The resolution of the Simon Sanchez original procurement issues, that's 2018. On March 21, 2025, so from 2018 to 2025, I guess they're working on it. In 2025, you get the Simon Sanchez bid. That bid comes out. That's March of 2025. Sanchez work, I mean, DPW works through onto June 6 on 2025 to come up with this ranking world where CTI is ranked a point or two higher than GPS. Fine. June 6, 2025. So March to June, deal with the rankings. Then there's a greater than 5 month silent negotiation period from June right on until November of some communications or some negotiation for 5 months. So 5 month negotiation till November. During the, as that goes on, you can see from the record, we've got FOIA request and a procurement record request, things going over to DPW, GPS is sending. Things don't come over, so you've got a protest. Now, we're not here to address the protest, but that protest comes in on November 19th, 2025. So you got the GPS protest on November 19th, 2025, and then you get silence from DPW. You get silence from DPW despite other sunshine requests. Contact with DPW's prior counsel, Mr. Keeler. Nothing from DPW. What you end up having to get from us, from GPS, is an OPA appeal on January 28th, 2026. So the agency takes no action, does nothing substantive. Then there's an appeal to the OPA on January 28th, 2026. On February 6th, 2026, we get this determination that we're here to have the OPA review for its confirmation. So from 2018 to February 6, 2026, no determination. Within a week of the OPA appeal from GPS, you get this determination made. And remember that February 6, 2026 determination comes after hours, isn't served on my office on a Friday evening. And oh, by the way, it's Super Bowl weekend, and I'm not going to be in the office on Monday. And we've got a 2 day appeal clock to run. So I guess coincidentally, DPW was good enough on that Friday evening to issue this determination. Now, just the overarching first point I want to make here is what are we doing today, Mr. Hearing Officer? DPW has not denied GPS's protest. So DPW, just as a matter of legality, is saying there's a chance that this protest might be righteous. DPW hasn't denied GPS's protest. So on one side, it's protest is being reviewed. We are looking at it. I think even Mr. Lehler's motion to dismiss that he filed in on our other procedural footing here, and his briefing of this matter says DPW hasn't resolved the protest. If DPW hasn't resolved the protest and said, no, GPS, you are wrong, how can they, on the other hand, then say on February 6th, but we need to move forward and sign a contract with CoreTech right now? If the, what is the point here? Why would the agency, what is the logical hoops that are being jumped through here to say that, well, we'll sign a contract, we'll move forward, and then maybe your protest is righteous. So after they knock the building down under this other contract and we move forward with performance, then later DPW will come back and says, you know what, GPS, you're righteous. Unless Mr. Areola's got something that got filed last night that says protest denied. Or Mr. Lehler's helped prepare that. I haven't seen that. So if you've got a live protest, how can the agency out of the other side of its mouth say, well, let's move forward and sign a contract while there's a live protest that remains unresolved? Because they're saying there's a chance. You know, I mean, it's almost like a silly example I've been thinking of, but it's sort of like if you're going to get married to somebody, it's somebody, your ex-boyfriend stands up and says, don't do it. I'm here. And the bride is like, well, wait a second. I'm going to think about that. You can't move forward on the wedding. So just logically, it makes no sense to be moving forward on a determination if the protest is live. At least in the JFK, I'm calling it JFK1 in our brief. At least in JFK1, the agency had the decency to make a determination and say, no, you lose your protest, right? That's why they were moving forward. But here, the agency has kept radio silence. So the protest is unresolved. The second point I'd like to make. There's been no showing. What you've got in this determination are 5 pages of conclusions. All right. You've got 5 pages of conclusory, it's sort of an intro letter and some paragraph conclusions. That's a problem for DPW, and I guess part of that problem was they wrote it with less than a week between the OPA appeal and February 6th. You got to, if you look at the applicable law in the procurement world, you got to justify this urgent and compelling reason to blow through the automatic stay. You have to, at least in that Hawaii example, where you got, what are we doing here? We're looking for the impairment of a state interest. That state interest line is in our statute. So when the Attorney General's office or DPW says, based on the record before the OPA, we've got to move forward, what record is there? You know, our protest is that the procurement record, we haven't gotten to the merits of it, but the procurement record, such that it is vapid. And what you've got are 5 pages of just a statement from DPW saying we need to move forward. At least in the JFK case, you had 30 pages of, I mean, this is all in the OPA record from JFK. You had determinations, you had communications, you had declarations from different agencies, you had evidence. You had the Guam Education Policy Board making findings, right? 31 pages. And even in that situation, Doris Brooks said, no way, not enough. Here we've got five. Now, I understand that the argument is, well, this is not binding precedent. Of course, it's yes, Mr. Hearing Officer, you could certainly reject the prior decisions of the public auditor on how to make determinations. You have the ability to, I mean, ignore precedent. But I mean, that's what the OPA has done before on a bigger record. You know, this idea of, well, it just really is a rational basis determination for you to analyze this substantial determination. No, it's not. The statute says de novo. But even if you were trying to rationally understand the 5 pages provided by the agency, it's a rational review to meet a standard. You still got to get to the standard. It's not whether it's rational to you, it's rational to the urgent and compelling standard of the statute. Okay, my third point. We have wandered far into the world of the tail wagging the dog, right? We are in a world where both the briefs from the other side have presented post hoc justifications built on hearsay upon hearsay. Now, I understand we've got relaxed rules of evidence saying, well, here's all the reasons extra why we got to do this. I mean, we've got a declaration of the superintendent written March 13th. We've got cool Cortec pictures of the Teedzin campus after later they said that we're going to do double sessions at Teedzin, I guess solving the we can't double session question. All of this post hoc evidence is irrelevant for today. You can't review a determination made on February 6th based upon declarations submitted March 13th. The United States Claims Court rejects that. They say in the procurement world and the feds, well, we look at the evidence at the time of the determination. I think the language is actually they say we're looking for a four corners. What are the four corners of the JFK the determination, or what are the four corners of what happened here? And what is in our four corners? 5 pages. Not even 5 pages. 3 pages in a cover letter. So I got it. We've got cool pictures of the Teejin campus. We got the new superintendent saying all sorts of things on March 13th. None of it is relevant. Right, and to the extent you need a formal objection to the relevancy to say that shouldn't come in, I'm making it. But I mean, this is not a jury trial, Mr. Hearing Officer. I think you're competent enough to read the, you can read this, you can read the record, and you can read how other jurisdictions have handled this. You can see how the public auditor's office has handled this, and what you're looking for is the evidence as it existed on February 6th, not post hoc determinations to wag the dog with a tail. Okay, it just doesn't work that way. Because if we're going to be saying all of these things based upon the briefs that come in after February 6th, the determination is irrelevant. All right. Now, I've tried, and this is in our brief. I've tried, because we wanted to expedite things, I've tried to go get, through the Sunshine Act, the communications, the emails, what's gone back and forth between Cortec and DPW, between lawyers for different parties. I've tried to get all of that through Sunshine Act, the FOIA responses. The Office of the Attorney General and DPW's response is, you don't get it because it was made, these communications were made in anticipation of litigation. Well, that's not how the Sunshine Act works, right? Did you make the determination? Did you make the communications because you're going to make a determination? Or did you make the determination and have the communications because this is a litigation move. So there, I wanted to add, what the internal communications were, what the justice, the evidence was, what did the policy board say? But couldn't get any of that because I've just been thrown a standard, hey, it's privileged and it's litigation privilege and not sunshinable. So I wanted to add to the 5 pages with documents and evidence from before the 5 pages, but nothing came in. So what we're left with is the four corners as they existed in that determination on February 6th. Everything after that, everything you're going to hear for the rest of this hearing, irrelevant. Okay, but we're going to hear it. So let's talk a little bit about that. The February 6, 2026 determination and need. The situation is no more dire and no more important for the territory on February 6 than it was on November 19th, 2025 when GPS's protest came in. There's nothing different, right? I mean, to rip from the headlines, Iran was a threat yesterday, they're a threat today, they were a threat tomorrow. There wasn't anything different. Here, Sanchez and the kids at Sanchez are having a rough go. All my buddies who coach football over there, they got to deal with football practice in the morning because of the double sessions. We did a rugby camp for for Sanchez kids. We had to double schedule that so that we could do the camp in the morning for Sanchez kids. It's not good. But that situation is no different as it existed during football season than it did during rugby season. It's no different than it was on March 21, 2025, when Sanchez bid came out a year ago. There's no difference in the impact of the students or the needs. It's the same situation. In fact, it's probably getting better because they're going to the Tejon campus. This is actually no different than it was in 2018. So I got it. It's not ideal. It's not wonderful. There's an absolute need to build Sanchez. But to blow through the automatic stay on the statutory standards and precedential standards that exist, that showing just doesn't exist. It doesn't exist on February 6th because it didn't exist on November 19 and it didn't exist in 2018. How should we proceed? Look, I understand that we can wave around the specter of DFS Lotte and say we'll be around here for a decade. Well, in that case, the agency did respect the automatic stay, so you can see what happened there. What's the fastest way to proceed here? Let's get to the merits of the protest on whatever expedited procedure you want to have with a hearing. The issues are there. Let's do that in this closed evidence procurement world and get to a decision. Oh, aha, the agency hasn't made a decision. Right? That's the litigation move. Well, we never made a decision. Back to my point, then if they never made a decision, what are we doing today? Because if that means my protest could be resolved positively for GPS, unless DPW today is going to say, no, we've denied your protest internally. We're just not telling you. I mean, unless that's going to be somehow said today, well, if you need a decision, the law is clear. Townhouse, IBSS, you have the ability to compel a decision if you want a decision from the agency first. You can make them do that fast, unless they really are debating whether or not they're going to give the contract to us. I guess then you'd have to wait for a CTI protest, right? Assuming that would be timely for whatever reason that protest would come in. But let's get to it. Let's get to the appeal. Or we're going to the Superior Court. I guess that's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the Superior Court on one discrete issue as to the standard of review and whether or not post hoc evidence can come in to a determination made on February 6th. We'll go resolve that at the court, then we'll come all the way back. That makes no timing sense. If you really want to move forward with the Sanchez process, we just follow the law. The people have made the law. There are regulations, there are standards here. You are a hearing officer under the AAA. You can set dates and move us along. This specter of Josh Walsh is going to bring a decade of litigation, that's not founded anywhere. Right? The law exists. If we just follow the process, we can do it. The problem, the reason we are off kilter here is that the agency is not following the process. They're not giving an agency decision. So that creates this idea that GPS could still be the awardee. Despite that, we're going on to the other side saying we need to move through the automatic stay, ignore the DFS language confirming why the automatic stay is that important, and let's just move forward. And we're going to move forward, Mr. Hearing Officer, based upon cool pictures emailed from CoreTech on February 13th, I mean March 13th, and some declarations written by the superintendent based upon I don't know what underlying facts. So unless you have any questions for me, Mr. McDonald, I'd like to reserve any time you might give me later to just do a few points on whatever we hear later today. Thank you, Mr. Hearing Officer.
My
Okay,
strengths.
Mr.
That
Layler.
is very impressive.
Good morning. I'm sorry, my screen just kind of went, Patrick. I apologize, my screen just flickered on and I kind of lost everybody. If we were to take GPS's argument and analysis and we were to extend it to its logical conclusion, we should do nothing. GPS wants to continue reach back 7 years ago, 10 years ago. Look what happened back then, when in fact, as we see, that merely reinforces what the actions of DPW, which is move this along. Now, Mr. Walsh wants to go into great detail about, hey, they haven't resolved this protest. They haven't. The reason the protest is because GPS keeps filing more protests. The first timeline that's important is back to June of 2025, where GPS was provided the entire file from DPW. So we can talk about Sunshine Act, we can talk about everything else, but their original counsel had the entire file. I don't know whether they transferred it over to Mr. Walsh's office or not, but effectively they've had everything for going on close to a year here. Now, there are three important points. One is as we look to the standard of review, which Mr. Walsh touched on. Two is that DPW followed the process they're required by law to follow. And three, we do look to the overall impact. Now, before getting into those three main points, there's, call it an overview, where Mr. Walsh engages in a certain sleight of hand here. There's a term in the Torah, dispelling my Catholic roots, the term is Gezira Shavah, which is equivalence of expression. And you heard it this morning, you've seen it throughout the briefs, it keeps coming up. Mr. Walsh wants you, Mr. McDonald, to find equivalent of expressions between determination of need or extreme circumstances or dire straits and equate that to substantial interest. The two are not equivalent. And the key there is to make the point that DPW was never required to show dire straits. DPW was never required to show extreme circumstances. DPW wasn't even required to show extreme need. All they had to show was substantial need or substantial interest. So the key there to remember throughout this is that there is no equivalence of expressions, no matter how many times that GPS wants to use determination of need or dire straits, that's not what the law says. So turning to the standard review, because GPS dedicated a substantial part of its reply brief to the standard of review, Mr. Walsh says, and I agree with him, we should follow the law. But the key is here not that we sidle up to the law buffet. We don't pick one part of the law and ignore the rest of it. Whereas the statute, one statute says this is de novo review. If you go to 2 Gar. Div. 4, I hate quoting long citations, I apologize. Chapter 9, Section 12.115, it says that the public auditor will confirm or reject, which means you have to look at the totality of the circumstances and evaluate everything's there and make that decision. It's not complete de novo review when you apply all of the sections that are applicable here. More importantly, if this is truly de novo review, just to accept argumentatively Mr. Walsh's analysis on de novo review, then logically, Mr. McDonald, you would be able to say, I'm going to look at this situation in and of itself, and I'm not going to look at JFK. I'm not going to look at all of the quote unquote precedential value because here I am and I'm applying a de novo review, and that being the case, then I'm going to look at the situation in front of me. And in reality, that's what we have. Now, as our brief lays out, whether you apply JFK or you apply the current situation, you come up with the same result. But the key being is, in this case, all that you're required to do is confirm or reject. That's it. The decision, the determination made by DPW to move forward with the overall project. And that's all they're doing here. You know, if you look at the circumstances, the only people at risk here is CTI. Because if they move forward in terms of demolition or they move a single chair, they're encumbering all of the costs there. So if ultimately something occurs down the road and CTI doesn't have the contract, what happens then is all the work they've done, they're simply not paid for. So that being the case, they're the only party at risk here, not GPS. But the key being is there simply are no facts, no circumstances, there is no argument to be made, nothing whatsoever where GPS would go, you know what? You're right. They did it up front. Because as Mr. Walsh has already intimated, that if you don't make a decision that they consider to be favorable, well, he's going into court and we will continue to delay it. Why do we keep delaying it? Well, it is in GPS's interest to continue the delay because then hopefully, this being an election year, then they're able to push it through and ultimately the project fails with a new legislature and a new governor coming in. That's the ultimate hope there. That's the dirty little secret that nobody wants to talk about. But since I'm the new guy to Guam, I'll bring it up myself. But it's in their interest. It's also in their interest to continue with double sessions because GPS has the back lease on John F. Kennedy. So while we're doing double sessions at John F. Kennedy, at that point, who's profiting from that? Well, the person holding the back lease. Now, I want to be clear. I am not accusing GPS of anything foul, anything underhanded, anything outside of the law. I am not making that statement. I'm just sitting here again, kind of as a new guy to Guam, and I'm going, well, that's kind of what it looks like to me. One is currently making money and profiting, and if they can delay the process so that CTI is not available and not able to move forward with its project, then GPS continues to profit at CTI's detriment. I want to hit my second point, which is that DPW followed the process. And again, let's apply this sleight of hand here. Because what Mr. Walsh is arguing is to say, look at JFK, look at Doris Brooks' decision here, and see what DPW is saying it considered today is not sufficient. Now, the law doesn't call for that. What it says is DPW is required to consider certain factors. It's required to meet with certain individuals, including the Department of Education director and the Attorney General's office. All of that was done. So it's simply, if you're writing this down, it's what we lawyers call de facto versus de jure. Mr. Walsh and GPS are hoping that you fall on de facto. That look, here's what they did in JFK, and now as you look at that, that's not the standard that or that CTI's information, DPW's claim don't match up even to what they did in JFK. That's not what the law is. De jure says you look and say, did he conduct the process properly? Not to meet some artificial standard that they can keep moving the goalpost and say, well, yeah, it's an interest, but it's not substantial and it's not critical and it's not dire straits. So that being the case, all that DPW was required to do was to analyze the specific points in the statute, which it did and it certified, and then you move on And you say, okay, if they complied with the statute, we will do it. I've read through, I don't know Ms. Brooks. Apparently, she's well known here in Guam. But when you read the decision, just as a student of the law, it seems a little lacking. Meaning, she establishes, she says, well, the standard is de novo with no analysis whatsoever. She then references certain of the cases that were cited in the briefs, and she makes the conclusory statement, those don't apply. Doesn't tell you why they don't apply, doesn't tell you anything more than they don't apply. So I find myself, as I read the JFK decisions, to say, what's going on there? It seems to me that the decision was made, and now we'll back into it. So to the extent that JFK has any precedential value, which I don't concede at all, I would argue that the circumstances here are vastly different. I would urge you, Mr. McDonald, to be more in depth than Ms. Brooks was, which is to say, let's look at this situation here today. Mr. Walsh is absolutely correct. It's gone on for years and years. And as I say, to extend his analysis to its logical conclusion, he believes that it should continue to delay after delay after delay. But the only key that's here is that DPW followed the process required by law. And that being the case, then if we follow the law, then we move forward and the determination is upheld simply because that's all he was required to do. Third, let's look at the impact. The key here is kind of twofold. Number one, on the one hand, you have the impact of the buildings and the facilities. Number two, you have the impact on the children. And this is all well briefed. Ms. Tang did it far better than I did. But the bottom line is simply this. When you look at the facilities for these children, if they're moved to Teeson, that is putting a band-aid on a major carotid artery. They don't have enough parking, they don't have room in the cafeteria, they don't have the physical facilities to handle 2,300 children. And again, GPS is hoping that you say, well, I don't find that to be a good enough reason. Setting aside that good enough is nowhere in the statute. The key is simply, did they consider it? Alternatively, excuse me. When you view the impact on not just the children, but everybody involved on a substantial interest light, remember, we don't have to show dire straits. We don't have to show that there's any extremis whatsoever. We simply see, have to show that there is a substantial interest. This project has been front and center as I look back through, newspaper articles, everything I could find, it's been floating around for at least 10 years. That tells me that in and of itself is a substantial interest. However, to bring it home in the face of real people, and you know, sometimes we as attorneys do that. We get wrapped up in the numbers and the words in the law and everything else, and we forget that the decisions that we make and the cases we pursue and the causes that we champion really impact real people. Dr. Juan Patz, and I hope that's correct, her statement is compelling. That is to say, she says the student anxiety is way up. She's having trouble now with the recruitment of teachers. They are unable to participate in specialized training for both students and staff. They're not getting it because they can't function around the split schedule. Special education children are directly impacted, and the list goes on and on. So from that standpoint, if you need to talk about the people, and I would hope that that's where we focus, the goal should be how do we best move this forward, keeping in mind that there will be no answer to move forward that GPS will accept. And it would be refreshingly honest if they just came forward and said, we're not going to accept under any terms CTI getting this contract. We will do what we, and I get profit. I'm a dyed in the wool Adam Smith conservative economist. I get that. But you know what? There's going to be more of these projects, and if we dedicated that time to moving on and allocating in that realm rather than focusing on how do we delay this 2 more months, 3 more months, etc. Mr. Walsh goes to great lengths, and I credit him for it, for outlining how important it is to be able to get decisions. The problem is that, as has been demonstrated throughout this claim, every decision just adds to another appeal. Every filing adds to another appeal. Everything adds to a delay, and it must be the reasonable conclusion is that delay is exactly what they're looking for right now. I would hope, Mr. McDonald, that we say, let's move this forward. As I say, if we focus on that term, Gezira Shiva, we don't have to show an equivalence of expressions here. We don't have to say that there are dire straits and the world's going to end in order to be authorized to move forward. All we have to do is show there is a substantial interest. Using Mr. Walsh's own argument here, the fact that this has gone on so long and yet remains in front and center in the newspapers, in the legislature, across the board, it tells us without a doubt there is substantial interest in moving it forward. Now you can put a face to that substantial interest in Dr. Juan Pat's statement, as well as Mr. Areola's statement, because he outlines very clearly here that they followed the process. I would urge you, Mr. McDonald, to no longer move the goalpost, to be able to say, to not put yourself in that position of, is this really a good enough reason? Good enough is not going to happen. If there were specific things that DPW had to show, then they would have been enumerated in the statute. They are not. It just says he has to consider it, and that's what you have. So from the legal standpoint, we met the criteria. From the personal standpoint, the faces of those kids, all of them tell us we need to move forward on it, and therefore the determination should be upheld.
Thank you, Mr. Later. Ms. Tang.
Thank you. I circulated the slides earlier, and I just wanted to check with Mr. Walsh if he has any objections.
Yeah, I'm preserving my objection to the late filing or the late submission to the extent they're making new arguments or that there's something substantive in it. If it's just a existing demonstrative presentation based on what we've already seen, it's not much of an objection by me. But
All
let's
right.
see how the presentation.
All right, let me get started here. All right. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to present, and I appreciate your allowing us to use this. Hold on, phone is. I want to turn my phone off. Sorry. Apparently, everything's connected these days. Let me turn my phone off. Right, let me close my tab. Okay. Having trouble. Okay, here. Cortec is the interested party. It was the successful bidder. It was based, I think one of the things we got to understand is this was an RFP that was years in the making. As all of the parties know, and everybody on this Zoom call knows, Zoom hearing knows, that the Simon Sanchez High School project has taken over 10 years to get off the ground. We will get into the steps that needed to happen, but today we are supposed to be where we are, procurement and award and construction. Couple of things to remember. This RFP was based on proposal of payment of rent. The government is going to lease back. And the cap for the financing under the applicable McCaughey 2013 statute was that the financing was capped at 166 million. So let's be clear. There's this argument in GPS's brief that, well, ours is cheaper, $80 million. GPS is cheaper. Well, you're going to finance for up to 166, and you're only going to spend $80 million on the building. How's that better for government of Guam or the students? I think that's got to be clear. It's kind of a misleading statement, I think, that they're giving a better deal because this is not a bid on based on best price. There's only cap is. This is how much you can spend. This is how much the government's going to lease back. Those are the financial criteria. And then you have the construction and scope and concept and design criteria. So don't be misled into thinking that, gosh, we're cheaper and you're going to pay more. It's actually the reverse. They're going to get more and you're going to get less of a school. Third point. Cortex submitted the best proposal design for the design, construction, financing, maintenance, and insurance for the school. And it was selected as the best proposal. Let's talk about some relevant dates for purposes of this proceeding. So on January 28, 2026, GPS filed a notice of appeal to OPA on three protests of the award to TBW. February 5, 2026, DPEW issued a written determination of award of contract for the Simon Sanchez High School project without delay, pursuant to 5 GCA 5425G. That's a very important statute. Third date, February 9, 2026, GPS filed a notice of appeal opposing DPEW's written determination. We're here today because of this. The operative statute is 5425G1 regarding the written determination. There's discussions about supplementing filings and what is substantial interest, but this is the operative statute. And what does it say? It says the Chief Procurement Officer and Director of Public Works, after consultation with and written concurrence with the head of the using or purchasing agency and the Attorney General or designated Deputy General needs one, make a written determination that the award of the contract, that's one, two, without delay, three, is necessary to protect the substantial interest of Guam. The first box has been completed. It's not disputed that there was a written determination and that it was signed by the Attorney General and the agencies, DPW, Mr. Ariola, and also DOE. Now, there's a lot of GPS complaints about, well, you don't need to rush this through. This has been sitting on, on the back burner for a long time. There is no need to rush this, and there is no substantial interest of form. The statute is pretty bare. So they want to, GPS wants to read a lot more into the statute than it actually provides. So let's talk about that. First, and we'll get into the substantial interest and delay issues, but I want to focus on the delay issues. GPS, I think, makes some I think, spurious allegations regarding CTI delays, that they're not supported by facts. CORTEC did not delay the Simon Sanchez High School procurement for over a decade due to its procurement protests. Let's be clear, in 2016, CTI filed two protests resolved on November 22, 2016. In 2017, CTI filed a protest resolved on October 15, 2018. That's it. That is over 8 years ago. Let's look at what else happened. The government, there was a phased procurement approach to rebuilding the Simon Sanchez High School. All right. And it started with, and this is something people, it's in the newspaper, it's in, you know, the reports, it's in the public laws, the legislative website. This is what happened. And this is to build a project like this, you know, and it is the government. It doesn't happen overnight. So you have this phased procurement approach. In 2018, this is while there was the 2017 CTI protest was ongoing. The legislature already started pushing through a bill, which became public law on May 16, 2018. What did it do? It made GDOE the procuring entity and authorized a phased procurement approach. What does that mean? There are different steps. You have architectural engineering services, construction management, procurement, financing, construction services, and then procurement of collateral equipment. Well, that's exactly what happened. In 2019, GDOE issued RFP 005-2019. All right, they surveyed the property in 2019. Immediately thereafter, you need a survey before you can start doing architectural engineering design. 2020, GDOE issued RFP 006-220 for architectural engineering design. It was awarded that year, and architectural engineering design proceeded forward. And in July 5, 2023, Public Law 3722 was enacted, which changed the governing framework requiring GDOE to issue a new Simon Sanchez solicitation through DPW using the 2020 procured design. Okay, and then in 2024 January, the DPW issued this RFP for the construction, issued a RFP for construction management services, which is still part of the phase procurement. If you look at all the work that needs to be done, all the phases that need to, the procurement that needs to be completed before you can start construction. And then on March 2025, DPW issued this RFP for the Simon Sanchez High School finance demolition design build lease and lease back and insurance capital maintenance contract. So to be clear, this allegation that CTI just stopped the train for 10 years, you know, that's just ridiculous. There's no basis in fact or reality. All right. The next, okay. So there's a lag, I think, in the transmission. All right. Let's talk about, we've talked about the delay. So I felt that we really need to address that because something's happening. Okay, all right. We need to address that because I think it's just wrong to say that about CORTEC when there's no basis in it. And it's easy to blame somebody else, the winning offeror, proposal, but at least be grounded in facts, right? Okay, let's talk about the statute 5425 G1. And I mentioned earlier, it's pretty bare bones, okay? And it says here, substantial interest of Guam. It doesn't say when, what limits you to what you can look at, when you can look at. It doesn't say, hey, follow the Federal Arbitration Administrative Act. You're supposed to follow the GAR and the applicable regulations and the applicable statutes to the public auditor to review. So here, we believe, based on all of the evidence that's, the parties have submitted and information that's basically out there in the public for the last 10 years, there is substantial interest of Guam has been established to award without delay. And first, substantial public interest. This is not, I can't imagine GPS disputing this, and they don't dispute it. The Guam Organic Act mandates the government to provide adequate public educational school system of Guam. And adequate public schools must be a healthful, safe, and sanitary learning environment. Okay. And I think, having 1,400 Simon Sanchez High School students in a safe, sanitary learning environment is important, and there is a substantial public interest in that. Now, awarding without delay is necessary to promote that substantial interest. And there is just so much testimony out there from students. And I picked selected two, and because I think, we forget what, some of us went to, private school, some of us went to school. Most of us on this call probably went to school before they had double sessions. And here, one student said, the lack of proper campus not only affects academic performance, but also takes an emotional toll on students and staff who lack a sense of belonging. Rebuilding Simon Sanchez High School isn't just about constructing a building. It is about restoring a community's identity and providing a conducive environment for learning and growth. Every student deserves access to a safe educational facility that fosters their potential and enables them to thrive. It is imperative that stakeholders prioritize the rebuilding process to ensure future generations have the opportunity to experience a fulfilling high school experience at Simon Sanchez High School. Very articulate and very, very insightful. And I think this is they're begging, and I think this was submitted to the roundtable hearing on Public Law 3722 in May of 2024. And I have just one more. This is from another student. We need your help to rebuild our school. It has been down ever since Typhoon Mawar. The things we sharks don't like is doing double session. It being too far from where we live. School hours too short. We get blamed for the damage at a different school. Or parents get tired of driving so far and we get learning but a short amount of time and does not feel like home. So I think, the future, these students expressed, I think the limitations and what they're going through in terms of a double session. I'm having a delay in transmission. Here it goes. Okay. So, and I, without going into too much of the details, I think based on the media reports and this evidence, this information is developing after the filing of the submission of the determination by DPW. So I think it just because it's after the submission of the determination does not make it not relevant. First of all, 5225G1 does not restrict it, and for GPS to say, well, you can only look at, what's in the record and nothing else, that is just not true. Sorry, I'm just having trouble here. Who is moving my screen is having trouble. Okay, hold on. So, okay, can I just ask Joy, are you in any way controlling the screen, or are you just, because I'm not able to sync what's going on in my screen with the OPA screen. Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Sorry. My apologies. I'm trying to
Because I
make
think you're
you.
controlling my slides for some reason.
I am trying to make you the co-host. Just give me a moment. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, because I think you were manipulating, changing my screen, so I'm having problems with that. Let me just reshare, maybe. Okay, let me try to reshare this. Okay.
Ms. Tan, can I ask that you get to the part of your argument that talks
Right, I
about
am, but I'm
the
just.
delay, the
Sure.
determination of the award is necessary to
Right, I
protect the
am, and I'm
substantial
sorry,
interest?
but I am, but I think it's being my somebody's taken over my screen. Okay, so this is I think there's all right. Look, the future of the students is uncertain. Here's the problem on and why the substantial interest. There are grounds for finding a substantial interest. Currently, they're on double session, okay? And this double session is probably going to continue. There was an announcement of a temporary relocation of 1400 of these 1400 Simon Sanchez High School students to Tizen High School for the first two semesters in 2026 or 27 year. Okay, so starting August to December, they're going to be moved to Tizen. We've talked about, Tizen High School has presently 900 students. You're going to move 1400 students there, raising it to 2300. There are 222 double increase. The admin, faculty, and support staff by another 128. So that takes it to about additional 228 staff, bringing that total to 2,500, over 2,500 people in the Tizen school. And that is just not workable because Tizen High School cannot accommodate this 2,300 students and 228 staff. And we've presented information about this. The classroom, this is a physical, we have the plans and it shows how many seats, and that's how many maximum students you can accommodate, is 900 of the Simon Sanchez High School students. And that's packing these students like a bunch of sardines, okay? And there is also, and just referring to something that Mr. Lehler had mentioned over, you have the special needs kids. There is a big there's a part of the school that has special needs, and what do you're going to put a lot more people in the school and also special needs kids. It's not going to work. The cafeteria seats 312 people. You're going to have 2,500 people in the school using a 200 312 seat maximum cafeteria. Granted, not everybody eats in a cafeteria, but that is just not, that is, I think, very important. Parking, there's 285 parking spaces there for 2,500, over 2,500 people. Insufficient collateral equipment. This was, ill-advised. I mean, they want to transfer. I know there was maybe some urgency to find some way to remove the double session, but this is not feasible, okay? And then we get in the report there, we understand that they're looking at transferring the same students in January 2007 to these 20 modular FEMA classrooms that have yet to be constructed near F.B. Leon Groh Middle School. And I don't think you can fit 1,400 students in any 20 modular FEMA classrooms. And that's being discussed. So what is, at the end of the day, what is the future for these students? T's in high school for a temporary basis for 6 months, transfer to FBL LG middle school modular classrooms and neighboring classrooms beginning in January 27. And if that doesn't work, we'll just continue with our double session. That's what the future holds for these students. If that's not substantial interest, and if that's not something that needs to be addressed, I don't know what it would be. Now, there's a lot of discussion about delay, and of course, in the important thing is though, is this process, this proceeding is just one step in many steps. They have right to appeal. Simon Sanchez project will be delayed for many years. The appeals to the OPA of protest denials, appeal to the Superior Court, appeal to the Supreme Court, sorry. And we talk about they say, well, DFS. Well, yes, that was our case, and it went on for 10 years and it settled after I think 11 years. All right. But the bottom line is that is a reality. Do the kids, should they wait another 2 years before construction starts? No. I think with all of the things in the record and in the media, and that everybody has known for the last 10 years, there's more than adequate basis to make a determination that there has been substantial interest that the written deny their appeal of this and their opposition to the determination. And I think substantial interest has been established to award without delay. Now there is a lot of discussion about JFK. And I think that Mr. Walsh conceded that administrative agencies are not bound by stare decisis. And that's been conceded. So we don't even have to argue about that. Full stop. You look at the facts of this case, you look at the determination, that the written determination from DPW, and you make a decision. But if you want to even think about the DJFK case, I think that it is deficient. Why is it deficient? Because in that case, the public auditor only considered the delay in that proceeding. This proceeding, the determination of the proceedings before the OPA, she did not consider any future appeals which could take years. You have sat on many appeals, OPA hearings and appeals, and they have been appealed. And how many, small and big procurements, how many have gotten stuck in the wheels of appeals for over, 2, 4, 5 years? Many. Maybe not as long, DFS does hold a record, but it's not unusual to have anywhere between 2 to 4 years getting with appeals stuck in Superior Court and Supreme Court of Guam. Also, what
Ms.
differentiates
Tang,
us from,
can I ask you to wrap it up in the next 2 minutes? I
Sure.
need to get to the reply, and then I have a bunch of questions.
Okay, all right, great. All right. So I want to add 2 points. GPS relies on Carle Corporation versus State of Hawaii. In that case, there was an unsuccessful bidder for contract to provide automation services for library system. The protest appealed hearing officer's ruling on the procurement of violation. Carle does not apply to this case. And then the second case is the VANS system. This has to do with whether you can submit supplemental information, what Doc Mr. Walsh calls post hoc. The court reject in that case it should not be you should not even consider it. You should reject it because that case involved a review by a court, not an administrative tribunal, of the agency's determination to override automatic stay. And also that court review was based on the FAA and on an arbitrary and capricious standard. That's not what you're doing here. And that's not our standard, and we don't follow the FAA. So this idea that this everything post hoc should be excluded is wrong. All right, go back to 5425G. There's nothing that says, oh, no post hoc information. It is all the information that you have in front of you that is relevant to the determination, including events that develop after the filing of this determination, declarations, actions of DOE, actions of DPW, to the extent they're relevant. You should and consider those. For those reasons, we submit that we submit that substantial interest of Guam has been established to award without delay.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Walsh, I want to ask you to go ahead and reply, but can you constrict it to any of the arguments brought forward by
Yes.
either DPW or Cortec?
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Hearing Officer. I will go down the list and just address the points that I think need to be addressed that Mr. Lehler and Ms. Tang raised. The first idea is this concept that perhaps we should do nothing or just follow what DPW's direction is here. I want to be clear here. What we have is a problem in the government of Guam of procuring agencies not following the law. So then, rather than follow the law, when they screw up a procurement, they want to hit the win button and get out of it. So here, the win button is determination of need. We don't need to do anything. We don't need to get to the protest. Or just like it was in GIAA and the emergency procurement, we'll just hit an emergency procurement win button and we'll get out of this. That is not the solution. The public auditor's office should get agencies to follow the law, do procurement better, and move faster. Not screw it up and hit a win button and say we get to get out of this. This point that Mr. Lehler raises about the entire procurement record being available in June of 2025, it cannot be that the procurement record, complete procurement record, was available on June of 2025, yet a determination in February of 2026. I don't know what's occurred there. So that has no relevance. The idea that, well, if the government can say that this procurement covers a substantial interest, therefore there should be no stay, we should be able to get through the stay. Please understand that is an invitation to say that anytime Gov Guam says a procurement's important, which is every procurement because it's public money, they can then say we say there's a substantial interest to do this. We want to help sped kids. We want to help kids avoid double sessions. That means there's no automatic stay in any procurement thing ever. That's not a decision for the public auditor. That's a decision for the Guam legislature. I don't know if I really heard this. De novo review means there's no precedent. You don't follow precedent. There is not one Supreme Court of Guam case that would stand for the idea that the Supreme Court of Guam doing a de novo review can do whatever it wants. You still have to follow law and you still look for precedent. This idea that the CTI is going to bear all the costs, I haven't seen that. I mean, if Cortex says that they're going to roll their bulldozers and do a year of work uncompensated by Gov Guam, I'd like to see that, especially if. Because this GPS protest is still live, we maybe end up being the awardee next week. I don't know if DPW is writing a decision that says it's a good protest. So, to the extent that Cortex volunteered to do a year of work at its own risk, as Mr. Lehler suggests here, I'd like to see that. But the reason I can't see that is no one has seen the contract yet. DPW continues to hide this negotiated contract that no one's out there. So, I don't know what the terms are. I do appreciate somebody coming to the island and saying, hey, I'm just an outside observer and I'm going to share some things with you. There's a secret profit conspiracy going on here. I don't see that in the record. I mean, where is the evidence for that? As I understand it, CTI actually has the maintenance contract at JFK. So the longer the kids are double sessioned at JFK, CTI is getting money out of that. And CTI is the entity that does Tejan. So they'll get a double paycheck for the double session. I appreciate Mr. Lehler's attempt to help us understand island conspiracies, but between that and his view that Doris Brooks is wrong, I'm not sure that there should be much stake in that, especially if we're not citing law. On the Tejan idea, blowing through the automatic stay does not avoid the fact that these students are going to have to go to Tejan, right? It does. Whether this, we just heard Ms. Tang say that. School be completed in 2 years. We are going to Tejan no matter what. All right. I don't want to concede the point, but if there was some idea that this protest is preventing the opening of Simon Sanchez for the class of 28, or the class of 27, 28, Maybe that changes the factual analysis, but there's no evidence about that. I got it. There are children with special needs who are impacted by the conditions at DOE. That's why Bob Klitsky passed that law that everybody, the Adequate Education Act. The faces of the kids. Who on this call has actually looked at the faces of the kids, been with the Sanchez kids in the last week other than me? Right? We had our rugby final. We ran rugby camp. We run camps with the Sanchez kids. The faces of the kids, again, not in the record. You've got these sort of platitudinal lines, but and maybe I'm wrong, Mr. Lehler, but when was the last time you looked at a Sanchez kid in the face? I did this week. I see them on the fields. I understand the difficulties. So this sort of platitudinal preaching about using the kids with special needs to sort of say, hit the win button and ignore procurement law so that we can foist upon them a financial scheme that maxes the credit card that's somehow better for Guam, I don't understand. $160 million is better than $80 million and maxing out the credit card, I suppose. But hey, that's neither here nor there. That's for the merits of the protest that DPW is still reviewing and may grant. CT, okay, so a couple other points just on Ms. Tang's points. CTI is cheaper. Again, that's for the merits. I don't know where that is. That's not in the record. The Simon Sanchez campus is important. Yes, children need a school campus. But again, that situation is no different today than it was on February 6th, than it was when they started this procurement. Kids with special needs. DOE is actively litigating against the elevator case in federal court. There are mechanisms to deal with the needs of special need children that lawyers can access. What you don't do is skip all over all the procurement law and hit the win button and say, we're not going to have a procurement stay anymore. The statute is slim. Yes, the statute is slim, but this is why the statute is slim. The OPA is directed by its enabling statute to interpret the law according to the procurement code. So the OPA is told, look at the procurement code, the procurement code. This is what you need to do with procurement, Mr. Public Auditor. You need to permit the continued development of procurement policies and practices to provide for increased public confidence in the procedures to ensure fair and equitable treatment of all persons. Yes, just like the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Third Amendment, the Fourth Amendment are narrow and short, they have to be developed through the law. That's why I've got no problem articulating these ideas that you shouldn't let DPW just hit a win button and skip through having to follow procurement law. The JFK case is deficient. Okay, yes, lawyers, we can sit around and we can talk about whether or not I liked Roe v. Wade or whether I didn't like Roe v. Wade. But the point is, a court decides. And the law that has been established is this JFK record, which was better than the record here, was not enough to blow through the automatic stay, especially because we could get this case moving along faster. I appreciate the time, Mr. Hearing Officer. I appreciate the arguments from counsels. We look forward to your decision, and I'll answer any questions if I can. Thank you.
Okay, I will have a bunch of questions for the parties. Mr. Lehler, this goes to you, I guess. What's the standard of review for the hearing officer to confirm or reject?
I'd have to check. I'm not sure in terms. I believe that the statute outlines that that's ultimately where he is, but in terms of the review, he assesses the information that he has in front of him.
Any of the parties want to add to that one?
You're
I
doing a
think
de
that is the
novo
way.
review of the record.
Ms. Tang?
I would say that the statute does say de novo, but I think that the information is not limited to the filings. It is it can be supplemented. We are not constrained as proposed by a GPS under advanced case.
Is there a this goes to Mr. Lehler. Is there a record of planning that includes 2018 statutory reset, separate 2019 surveying procurement, a 2020 design procurement, a 2022 design development phase, a 2023 legislative overhaul, and a 2024 construction management procurement. Is there a record of planning that incorporates all of those for the determination to issue this 1059 procurement?
Sure, I believe so. That's all there, but to verify, we have Mr. Ariola in this meeting. He can verify for sure whether all that's there.
Mr. Ariola, can you tell us whether or not there's a record of planning that includes all those events for the issuance of this 1059 procurement?
Yes, sir, there is.
Okay.
We have a full set of dates and everything.
Okay, and that's in the procurement record?
That's in the procurement record.
Has the full procurement record been transmitted in the form required under the rules and regulations to the appellant? Mr. Walsh, I see you're shaking your head. Please go on the record.
Yeah, no, I think the agency report and what was considered the procurement record that got sent over was just a bunch of links to a web page. I don't see an actual procurement record. I also want to put one other thing on the record. I am noticing that the public auditor himself is joining this call. I understand he's recused himself from the matter, so I'm not quite sure what his role is here. But yeah, I haven't seen a procurement record. That I
I
think is a
believe he's
procurement
just
record.
observing. I believe he's just
I
observing.
understand.
So,
I'm just making that point. But I have not seen a procurement record that looks like any procurement record I've ever seen. DPW standing upon that'll be a fight for the merits of this protest.
may I
okay.
address that issue, Mr. McDonald? One of the, if you recall, at the last hearing to schedule this particular hearing, you specifically asked Mr. Walsh whether he wanted or needed, or maybe it could have been the public auditor, asked Mr. Walsh whether he needed to conduct discovery. And Mr. Walsh said no. Now he's complaining about FOIAs or Sunshine Act requests. That's a different forum. You don't come to the public auditor to complain about Sunshine Act. I'm not saying he doesn't have grounds for it. That's in the Superior Court. There are provisions and statutes you follow, and you file a complaint. But you, this, the public auditor asked if he needed discovery. He waived it. He said no. Please check your records. He doesn't get to complain after waiving and complain today saying, oh, I don't have any information.
Okay, I'm just going to address that real quick. That was with respect to the substantial interest determination, if he was going to ask for any
Right, that's what we're
discovery. I
talking
think
about today.
under all appeals, there are regulatory time frames for submission of the record, and I'm not sure if that's been adhered to. It's either going to come out through an order, or it should come out as prescribed under the statute and the regulations. I just
Right,
wanted to
but
know if Mr. Walsh had actually received a procurement record, and all I saw were the hyperlinks, and that's all you've got, right, Mr. Walsh?
that's right. And that's why I tried to sort of use the Sunshine Act to see if there was something else that was missing. I didn't get anything. So that's why I raised it. I understand I could sue the director and bring a writ in the Superior Court to chase down the privilege claims that Mr. Lehler made. And we'll do that. But I was just trying to get ahead of this for today.
Okay,
And to
so
be clear, Mr. McDonald, those hyperlinks go to a share file that you can access everything on.
it's been a while since I've looked at it, but I think there's a specific format that's required and in a specific manner. So we may want to revisit that for our obligations under the regulations. Next question. None of the protest decisions have been decided, or none of the protest bases have been decided at the agency level. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Why not?
Largely because every time they make it, try to move forward on it, then another appeal and another protest gets filed on it.
There's one appeal, this one.
I mean, that kind of sounds like If you keep asking questions, I'm just never going to answer you,
No, and
right?
I don't mean to be glib about it, Mr. McDonald, but the key is that DPW is following the process prescribed by law. And as such, when this started to come up and there were more requests for information, then it was detracting from the overall process of refining once the determination is made that CTI is number one ranked. Then, as you know, and I'm telling you what you all everybody here knows, is then you go through the process of negotiating with them in terms of the specifics of how to move forward. That's just taken some time, and in the meantime, there are these demands for information.
Okay, so I haven't looked at the substance of the protests. I'm constricting myself to this, but we still have a bunch of time, and usually the questions are frozen in time on these protests because it's, if you looked at the procurement law and the case law, it says at any stage of a procurement, you can launch a protest. So that contemplates that the protest can be launched at any stage of the protest. And just I'm not following why DPW thinks it can withhold a decision because more protests are filed, given that a protest can be launched at any stage of the procurement. I think that DPW owes it to the protesting party to get something out there.
And it's certainly within your purview to direct them to expedite it.
I think I'm suggesting that it needs to be done.
Okay. No, I get that totally.
Okay. These questions are now for DPW. You're saying that it's that the determination of substantial interest is different than a determination of need under the statute. Doesn't the determination of substantial interest that award is necessary to protect the substantial interest? Doesn't that mean it's a determination of need to award without delay to protect the substantial interest?
No, our point was, if I'm understanding your question, I may be misunderstanding it, Mr. McDonald, is that we don't ratchet it up. We don't use terms, the statute doesn't use terms like dire. The statute doesn't use extremis, but it does say that it's a substantial interest. And that may be on a one-on-one more interchangeable. I don't think they're equivalent expressions, but at the same time, there's nothing in the statute that mandates that there be certain critical criteria be met. It only is a determination of interest. And that may
Okay.
just, and that may, I'm not trying to play word games here. I'm just taking it straight from the statute. I was concerned. And this sounds like a personal attack, Josh. I don't mean it that way. But I was concerned with the language in Mr. Walsh's brief where he's trying to interject that level. At one point, the brief says specific imminent threats. Well, the law doesn't call for specific imminent threats. That's nowhere in the statute.
Okay, well, when that written determination was made, what specific documents were in existence that's on the record right now at the time of the issuance of that determination? Can you point to those or tell me what those are?
Mr. Areola, can you fill that in, please?
Your question again, Mr. McDonald, was what records were available?
Yeah, what specific information or documents were available to you at the February 26th, at the time of the February 6th determination of substantial interest that you used to rely on your determination?
Well, first of all, it was the entire procurement record that was that. Entire complete procurement record that we have on file up to today. That was number one. Number two was our discussions with GDOE, our discussions with the school principal, our discussions during during the presentations in the middle of procurement. our general knowledge of this entire history of Simon Sanchez not having a bona fide campus and facility.
Okay, can you walk me through how, based on that information that was available to you, how you concluded that the harms from the delay during the protest period would be materially greater given the delay?
Well, I think the first harm that everyone's very much well aware of is the double sessions. That's
I ask for
primary.
the record citations? I'm sorry, it makes it easier to track.
Yeah, so if you can point to what in the record that was submitted with the substantial interest determination is backing up what you're saying right now.
I'd have, I again, it's in the procurement record as part of our of building Simon Sanchez. One of the reasons why we're building it is because of the double sessions. One of the reasons why we're building it is because of the lack of a facility. One of the reasons why we're building it is because the facility is not, it's a health issue. It's not safe for classrooms and issues like that.
Mr. Lehler, care to supplement any of that?
No, I think he's laying it out perfectly. The key, Mr. McDonald, is simply this, that Mr. Areola and DPW complied with the law. They met all of the requirements that they're required to do. And my fear here is that we're delving into, well, is this good enough? And then we get into, as I said, the constantly moving goalpost of, well, this isn't good enough. And then, but this might be, but then, oh no, that's not good enough either.
Mr.
Okay,
McDonald,
so,
may I? May I?
yes.
All right. You know, they spent in their reply, the GPS appellants really focus on the case Carl Court versus state of versus versus state of Hawaii. And in that case, a substantial interest in determination in that case was just a conclusory sentence. They focus, that's their only case that they, and keep in mind, our structure, our framework doesn't limit you to that record. In this case, in the case of Carl, they had one conclusory sentence. Compared to the determination submitted by DPW, there were at least seven enumerated grounds with explanations for them. All right, the law that they're relying on is does not apply, or the case they're relying on does not apply to our Guam OPA framework. It is, and the situation in Carl was different than what we have here. There was a finding of bad faith and blatant disregard for the law in awarding the contract during the automatic stay. There's none of that here. None of that. We got to be very careful about taking 5425 and creating all these, reading more into it and requiring a document, 20 pages, 30 pages. What was submitted with the determination and what information can you consider? It is not limited to Carl. Please, please review that.
Understood, understood. Let me just go through my questions.
Okay.
So I guess this goes to Mr. Lehler. What contemporaneous data or analysis did you rely on regarding the construction cost escalation in Guam at the time that the determination was made? And how did that information lead you to believe that further delay would significantly increase the cost?
Mr. Areola can verify this, but an analysis of Bureau of Labor Statistics talks about the difference in cost between Guam from 2000-2025.
Mr. Areola, was that submitted with the determination of substantial interest or afterwards in support of the substantial interest?
No, I don't believe so, sir. But just in our my experience here over the last 8 years, and the general experience of any type of construction here in Guam, any delays in any form of construction, whether it be 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, a year and a half, 2 years, you are going to experience substantial increases in construction costs. There's no doubt about it.
Is there a filing that you provided at that time that shows what the increases are, or are we just talking generally here?
Generally.
Basically our general understanding of construction costs here in Guam.
And it
Okay.
extends out, Mr. McDonald, to the extent that anybody who's had to fill up the gas tank today knows they're paying a lot more for it than they were 2 weeks ago.
We didn't start the Iran conflict until after the determination.
Okay. Okay, if Mr. Laylor is okay with Mr. Areola answering this, or if there's any DOE people on the call, or to the extent it can't be answered by either of those, if Mr. Laylor can answer this one.
Sure.
To the extent that the determination references ongoing educational disruption at Simon Sanchez and JFK, what concrete facts about those schools' operations were part of the administrative record you considered when you made your findings?
As I understand it, they looked across. Well, let me start with Mr. Areola, and I'll supplement where if there's any gaps in there. Since you're
Again,
talking about the exact considerations.
okay. One of the issues that we've entertained was in discussing this with the principal at many times during the entire procurement process. We would hear from her the condition of the school. The environment the children and the students were going through. I have in our files here probably, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 separate letters that were introduced by students at this round table that transpired a while ago. And they pretty much say the same message as the two letters that attorney Joy Stang showed everyone here. They want their classroom, they want their school, they want a better learning environment. They don't want double sessions. They want to go to school at a decent hour. They want to leave school at a decent hour. They want structure. They want consistency. And right now, it's difficult to ask students to learn. I'm not a teacher, I'm not an educator. But you talk to the educators and they'll tell you if they don't have consistency, a good learning environment, good structure, it's difficult to ensure that they're going to have an adequate education.
Okay, let me just then ask for the record. I am looking at the determination that was transmitted to the OPA, and it does in fact consist of the cover letter and 3 pages and the original email transmittal. Was anything else submitted in addition to the letter, the cover letter, and the determination? Were there any declarations, exhibits, other information on the public record, any references to actual existence on the legislative record, or the GDOE record, or was there anything else that was submitted in addition to those 3 pages?
No, because it's not required.
Okay. What specifically, what in the procurement record, even though it's not submitted in the appeal. Specifically, what in the procurement record supports the substantial interest determination, those factors that were considered on ongoing education, prolonged temporary conditions, material educational harm, safety and facility concerns, rising costs and fiscal impact, legislative intent, public interest balance in the procurement record itself, either Mr. Lehler or Mr. Ariola. At the time that determination was made, what in the procurement record supports those factors that were considered in arriving at the substantial interest?
I'll let Vince jump in on this, but initially it is the procurement record writ large. When you look at the all the way back to the funding, everything that's created in there specifically says there is a substantial need for this or a substantial interest for this program to go forward. And as such, as you look across the record, that idea is reinforced throughout it. Mr. Ariola, do you have anything to add in?
No, I again, based on substantial interest, the way I read it and the way we prepared it, this substantial interest goes as far back as the very first effort to construct a new Simon Sonschitz High School. And that to me is overwhelming. It's overriding in terms of the how the statute was written and how the statute should be applied in terms of substantial interest.
Mr. McDonald, may I jump in on this question?
Yes, please.
Okay. I'm looking at the procurement record link that I received from the OPA, which takes me to the site. And if you look at the site, it has a list of documents, and it includes the it starts with a stay of procurement. This is for the Simon Sanchez, and it has maybe 20 or 30 bullet points for each negotiation meeting, mandatory proposal conference, and it's in chronological order. But a very important document that I think will address what you're looking for is in the first bullet point, which is the Bill 94-37. And in that bill, if you click on it is a letter from the governor to Miss the Speaker, Therese Tulahi, regarding the bill, and talks about all of the issues with the schools. And I think this is worth looking at and addresses some of the public interest and substantial interest issues that you're raising. And it includes the bill, and it's in these different drafts. And so,
Have you heard on that point?
and
Yes,
one more
please.
thing, one more thing. It also, within the bills themselves, it addresses, talks about these the reason why these the Simon Sanchez bill was required, and the history of the delays and issues. I don't want to read the whole thing to you, but it's in this attachment. So when Mr. Walsh says, "Well, there's nothing there," there is actually a, I don't, a procurement record. Maybe he hasn't had the chance to go through them each document, but it talks about, it has correspondence, has different links to different documents.
Okay, Mr. Wall.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to this in the merits of the protest eventually, but if you go to that site, you've also got information about the GPD police lab and other things hyperlinked there. Look, the fact that we are pointing to a 2023 legislative letter talking about the importance of Simon Sanchez does everything to prove that getting these kids Simon Sanchez built is important. And the territory should move forward. And if it means spending 80 million or 160 million or 190 million, we should do it because it's important. None of that has anything to do with whether or not on February 6th, somewhere between January 28th and February 6th, 2026, that somehow all of that need became something that needed to be done right now to blow through the automatic stay. If we're going to be using 2023 procurement record letters from the governor and sort of director citing to the important needs for sped kids and how we should get the projects done, that means that every procurement on this island will not be subject to a stay, because the only reason you're procuring it, toilet paper, widgets, golf carts, conveyor belts, everything you're doing on Guam is important to serve an important government. There are no luxury items for Gov Guam procurement. And that means if we're looking at 2023 stuff, anything in the record is going to justify blowing through the automatic stay. And to Mr. Lehler's invitation, I understand the advocacy point, but that renders the OPA just a rubber stamp. And that directly would contradict the OPA statutory edict to make sure that you're looking at the broad strokes here to protect the taxpayer, to protect those kids who are only going to be at that school for 3 years and will be paying the public debt for 40 years. So I think the idea that we are talking about things showing how important this procurement is a red herring. We should be looking for what was it on February 6th to say we got to do this now. And the automatic stay, which is so important, CDFS, 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 that the automatic stay is must fade away. 30 pages didn't do it for Doris Brooks. Five chat GPT sentences is going to do it here with no citations to a record. It cannot be.
Mr. McDonald, very briefly,
If
is
you have something new to add, yes.
okay. Only to the extent that Mr. Walsh and GPS have made no allegation of wrongdoing. They want to cloud everything by saying, well, this could be happening. This could be going on. If he has an offer of proof that either DPW or CTI did something wrong, something underhanded, make the statement. But rather than
Yeah, you're
simply
not
saying,
following the law. That's the statement. The
excuse me,
law says
I
you're not
didn't mean to
following.
interrupt,
That's what
sir.
you're doing wrong.
I
Okay,
didn't mean to interrupt, sir.
let's have
But
it under control now. I
that's
think what
my
he's
point.
saying, I think is what he's saying is under his view of the construction of the laws, DPW is not following it. That's all he's saying. I don't think he's accusing anybody of wrongdoing. And again, that's just his application. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the OPA's app.
Understand.
Mr.
Okay.
McDonald, just one sentence. I just urge you to look at the procurement record. Mr. Walsh makes these flagrant statements about, oh, it's incomplete. It just go takes your website. It's a share file, and it has a lot of documents and pages of document. And if you bother to look, you'll see that it is quite detailed and complete. But to say that he's just going to some website, that's just false. I think it behooves the OPA to look at the website, the link that you your office sent circulated to the parties.
Give me a second. Okay. Understood. Let me go ahead and pose some questions to GPS. The factors, the seven, six, seven factors that's in the determination, standing alone, you would agree that those constitute, in some way, shape, or form, substantial interests. Wouldn't you agree with that, Mr. Wolf?
Yeah, without a doubt, building Simon Sanchez is an important government project and we should spend money to do it. Our argument, GPS's position is, do you need to hit the part of the law that says ignore the automatic stay and sign a contract to move forward on performance right now? Have those other check marks been made? No. So there's no nobody at GPS is saying, I mean, they bid on the job, right? Nobody's saying that kids' education's not important. That's not the standard for whether or not the OPA should confirm the determination that was made on Feb 6.
Okay.
I mean, ultimately, Mr. McDonald, I don't want to hide the ball here. If the public auditor's view, if the OPA view is going to be this is an important procurement, therefore, it's as important as it was in 2023 when public, Bill number 9437 went over. If the position of the public auditor is going to be that's enough, an important procurement moves forward when the agency says we need to move forward without a stay, okay, but that's just wrong. And the reason we submitted all the claims court cases, other jurisdiction cases, model procurement code cases, is to show you how other people do this. This has not been dealt with on Guam, just like previously when a timely protest wasn't dealt with until we litigated what when the 14-day clock runs, just like we haven't litigated what happens with emergency procurement. Just because on Guam we've done things where we say it's important, we should go fast, that's not, that doesn't allow you to excuse the fact that this was a, from our view in the merits of the protest, a failed procurement. So if that's the decision it's going to make, I can't stand against it. I mean, the reality is, if you look at whether or not sped kids need education, and that's it, that's the sum total of the equation. Not only that means that every justification for the procurement is also justification to blow through the automatic stay. And that just is logically incongruous. There has to be something different, something new, something emergent. That's why we cited those cases to show why now you need to blow through the automatic stay. And that doesn't exist in the three pages.
Is there anything in the statement, in the determination of the numbered findings that you find is factually inaccurate as of February 6th?
I think just anything that's working through the idea that a double session, so I think this is back to the Doris Brooks analysis in the JFK one case, that a double session, while not ideal, is somehow a requirement to ignore the automatic stay. We'd stand against that. DPW's show, I mean, DOE has shown that it can work through that process. So the idea that all of a sudden now in 2026, a week after our appeal, that's not a possible way to move forward. That I find factually false. But, you know, reliance on temporary facilities is not a good thing. Okay. They're already decided they're moving to Tejon. So they're moving to another facility. Delay to educate. I don't know. I can't remember if the ChatGPT wrote this or where I saw this language, but the continued delay makes material education harm. I taught for 4 years. I understand delaying causes material harm. Yeah, I got that. You know, the legislative intent, the legislator wanted, the legislature wanted to build a Simon Sanchez High School. That's true. There's lots of law about it. They passed a law saying build Simon Sanchez High School. What they didn't do was pass a law that says build Simon Sanchez High School. And oh, by the way, for this project where there's no automatic stay and there's no procurement protest, right? So, yes, these things are important, but they were important at the time of the procurement. What the analysis needs to be, and all of the precedent shows this, the non-binding precedent, I would suppose, on you, but you know, it's still law, is that you gotta show something to show why we have to blow through the automatic stay. It's in just similar to sort of any agency that tries to hit the emergency procurement button. I got it. It's important to get COVID masks on island next week. So there are statutory processes that exist to do emergency procurement for next week. Guam has demonstrated and knows how to do that. What you don't do is run a normal procurement, screw it up, and then say, well, I really need the item tomorrow, so now it's an emergency, so I'm going to use that. You don't do that. That's just lazy procurement, and the procurement officer should be better.
So I guess a couple of things from that. One is what you're saying is the agency cannot manufacture the substantial interest.
No, I'm trying to think of a hypothetical that could exist here, but so
In other words, I guess in other
I'll
words,
give
what
you
I'm
the
saying
example.
is by agency action, you can't create the emergency. That's what you're saying.
Sort of, except that I think there are situations of life and death where that might exist. So, for instance, there was a, this is in the, you know, if you needed dialysis machines at Guam Memorial Hospital for a procurement and you tried your best to do it, but for some reason you couldn't get the dialysis machines or the existing dialysis machines were going to fail tomorrow, different than a library in Hawaii or different than schools with double sessions, which means that every dialysis patient doesn't have dialysis tomorrow. I could imagine the Attorney General's office and the public auditor saying, We're still going to get to the merits of this protest, but we can't have people die tomorrow, right? Life, liberty, property, the absolute essential. I could imagine that kind of scenario. But what I can't imagine is a scenario where, since CORTEC first protested the original building of Sanchez, and you go through 10 years of this to all of a sudden say, now that GPS has brought its appeal, and it only brought its appeal because the DPW has sat on its protest for half a year now, or 5 months, or 4 or 5 months, hasn't given them an answer, that now has created the need to somehow magically run through this. So I think the agency can sort of say, look, we got this procurement, but there's a life of death. I think those facts can exist. None of those exist here. And they certainly cannot exist when the reason to hit the win button is we didn't keep a procurement record. We ignored $160 million cap. And oh, by the way, we're not giving you any information on that.
Mr. McDonald, may I just make a brief comment, if that's
Sure.
all right? All right. And I really have to point out there's nothing in the statute 5425G1 or the statute that says life and death standard or dire. I think that's, I know that Mr. Walsh keeps on throwing those words out, but it doesn't make it true and doesn't embed it in the statute. And then this procurement record argument, I've looked at a lot of procurement records. This is better than most that I've seen, and it's very well organized. So I think he really needs to take the time to look at it, and I think behoove you to do that. But in terms of the, there's no screw up here. Nobody, there's nothing underhanded. The procurement took 10 years, but not 10 years. It took a couple of years to do the phased procurement, but this is that kind of project. It is now time to award it. And just because, if someone has cancer and you say, oh, you have to have a worse cancer or another, cancer somewhere else before it becomes urgent, that's ridiculous. And he, being a teacher, should know that.
Okay. I want to kind of stick to what I think is really important here. And I'm not saying that any of what you folks have said is unimportant, but really what I'm focusing in on is this language in the statute that the determination was made to protect the substantial interest. And I agree, there's nothing that describes what the substantial interest is. It's up to the agency to sort of describe what that is. But I think we have GPS saying that they agree that there's a substantial interest at stake. I think where the fight is somewhere else.
But if I need a
Well,
card,
he's
substantial
saying there
interest.
should be more paper. There should be more paper showing why the kids are doing double session. Prove that they're doing double session
No,
that affects quality. Come on.
let me just interrupt right there. I think, and it helps me as the hearing officer to see in the record what are we talking about? Because otherwise, all we have are is the substantial interest determination with little reference to anything else. Now, there's so much I can take sort of administrative notice of that exists in the public record. But what I'm trying to do is we didn't have the benefit of the record at the time the substantial interest determination was made. So I'm trying to get tease out at least from the agency what parts specifically of the record did you rely on and can point to the substantial interest determination, where we look at those parts of the record so I can see that there was a basis, rational or under de novo review, and not arbitrary, that supports the determination. I'm trying to figure that out. And I'm not sure that just giving hyperlinks is sufficient, especially not at the stage where the protest has to look at a record that they don't have access to at the time that they're opposing the determination. So I'm now putting it back, the onus back on the agency. Show me in the record. Show me in the record what you relied on that relates specifically to your determination that I can at least look through and say, yeah, this actually existed. It looks like they consulted with it. And the reason why I'm temporarily going back to February 6th is because that was when that determination was made. Now, if there's something that supplements it that looks like I can add it, I'll add it if the law supports that type of analysis.
I'd like to be clear. I think something needed to be added to the record by February 6. You know, my argument about relevance or citing to the other procurement cases about how the post hoc addition to buttress the February 6 determination is that's not what I'm that's different than sort of saying the existing procurement record that was circulated needed to, my position needs to have something else after that to sh in that becomes part of the continuing procurement record that's supplemented that says why we need to go now, right? Why we can't spend a month doing this. For instance, if they didn't do the determination, this hearing might have been the hearing on the merits. If DPW had simply rejected my protest within a week, or the second protest within a week, we'd be doing this in November and December of 2025. So what is in the record, however they want to hyperlink it or show it, that says since the link was transmitted to Mr. Hernandez, here's the stuff that has created the need to do this fast now. Because if you only need to look at the existing procurement record as it was at the time of the notice of award, then everything can run through right now. You have to have something added. That's our perspective. And then on the substantial need, again, the project is important. We're looking for the substantial needs of the territory to meet that right now by ignoring the automatic stay. That's a one step further.
Two things,
Okay.
Mr. McDonald. Two things, and I'll
Hold
be
on, Mr.
brief.
Labor. Hold on, Mr. Labor. We've gone over the time, so I'm going to give each of you guys an opportunity to just do a summation, a 1 minute or less summation on the arguments and rebuttals presented here. And I'm going to go ahead since Mr. Walsh, it's your
Yep,
protest.
thank you.
I'm going to give you 1 minute, and then I'm going to give you 30 seconds after their responses. Go ahead,
I
Mr.
appreciate
Walsh.
that. I appreciate everybody working through the time restrictions here. I know people are in different places. There's not much to add here. This case presents an opportunity for the Public Auditor's Office to say whether it's going to be a rubber stamp and to help develop the law for clarity to the agencies that you can't fall asleep in a procurement effort and then just hit try to seek a interesting way out of it by saying there's all of a sudden a need to do it now without the automatic stay. If you do that, the automatic stay goes away. And when the automatic stay goes away, the only thing left is 10 years of DFS style litigation.
Mr. Labor.
Simply put, two things. Number one, I think that we are searching for an unfair standard with regard to DPS. And in that, what I mean is, I keep hearing, where is it in the record? Where is it in the record? Where is it in the record? DPS, or I'm sorry, not DPS, DPW has been living this procurement issue since day one. And I think it's unfair for them to have to divorce themselves to look, oh, we're only going to look at these sheets of paper. They understand everything that's gone on since very day one. And as such, even without a specific citation to anywhere in the record, they have enough evidence to make a rational decision. And it's unfair to expect them to make a decision in a vacuum by reciting to certain pieces of paper. Secondly, what you've heard, Mr. McDonald, today is significant hyperbolic language all on one side to say this parade of horribles is gonna the term they're gonna hit the win button. Nobody wins until a school's built. So the bottom line is to look at it rationally. Do we move forward with this, or do we have another delay? And that's really where it comes down.
Ms.
All right,
Tang.
Mr. McDonald, the standard, the statute's very clear. It just says necessary to protect a substantial interest of Guam. Again, I don't think it's the province or the role of the OPA to create new law on this. It's the job of the legislature. If we need to establish standards or requirements, the legislature to do that. But right now, there's nothing in the statute. And to be clear, there's nothing that limits or restricts us from supplementing it or buttressing it. And even on the case that they cited, Advanced Systems Development, that case relied under the FAA. And the FAA has, I think, seven or eight exceptions for submitting additional information or supplementing. So we don't have that structure here. And I don't think it's appropriate for the OPA to say, oh, well, we should do it here, use the word dire. We have to find life and death. What the heck is that? No, that's not a standard. That's just drama. Okay. Someone's being dramatic. But what we do know is the students need a school. Everybody on this call, including Mr. Walsh and Mr. Lehler, the DBW folks, know that the school needs to get built. It's a no-brainer. All right. He just wants you to show that you have 50 pages and declarations to support it, which was submitted after the February 6, 2026 determination. And that is completely appropriate under our statute and even under the FAA under certain exemptions. So let's be clear. What he's proposing is just plain wrong. These submissions are reliable and should be considered. Thank you.
Mr. Walsh, briefly, very briefly.
Briefly, I'm sorry about getting hyperbolic. I'm not the one that quoted the Tanakh, and I'm not the one that used sped kids as a shield. I will invite the public auditor today in case the website all changes at all. If you go to that procurement three thing, you'll see a procurement record or a bunch of hyperlinks, including things for the customs and quarantine design build, the floating dock. I mean, it's basically just a page of procurement documents from DPW. There is no procurement record. So even if you weren't going to take my invitation to look for the specific items to justify the February 6 item, there's just no procurement record. So beyond that, I don't think there can be a determination. Look forward to the decision, and I look forward to the date so we can get to the merits. Thank you, sir.
I have to say, he's misrepresenting the website. I'm looking at it right now. That's just not true.
I'll make that
That's just a
determination.
false statement.
Scroll. She's calling me a liar. Scroll right down, right now on it, right now at
No,
March
let's
20,
stop. Let's
2026,
stop, please.
1124.
Please, let's
Long
stop.
Beach Department Forensic Science link. It's
Please,
all
let's
there.
stop.
Yeah, I
Mr.
got it.
Walsh.
Thanks.
The procurement record for one project on the same share file, okay? Except the procurement record is open to the public for this particular
Reminder,
project.
DPW,
So
respond to a
I'm
FOIA.
sorry. I'm sorry.
No.
Do not misrepresent things. That's just false.
I'm sorry to say this is it's a fascinating question. I think everybody agrees.
Nothing fascinating about it.
Also, it's
Just
also
understand
very
how share file works.
important administrative law that's being developed here. I'm not taking any of this lightly.
Thank you, sir.
And I appreciate the hard work that the agency has put forward along with CORTEC in putting forward their case. So I'm not diminishing any of that effort at all. As a matter of fact, I applaud it. The same thing for the appellant. I think the appellant has done an admirable job on this protest. And on that, there's nothing else. I'm going to go ahead and end the proceedings. Anything
Thank
else
you.
of new substance or importance? Okay. Let's go ahead and end the proceedings, Joy.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We are off the record.